Have you seen one of them lately? Maybe you've heard them on television or on the radio or seen them on the street corner. Maybe you've read one of their recent publications. Most likely, in some form or another, you have encountered one, a false prophet. They seem to be just about everywhere in our society, manifesting themselves in various ways. Some of them are really easy to spot. They come with large placards with pictures of people being pushed off into the fires of hell, or a sandwich board that says something to the effect of, "Repent now, judgment is at hand." On TV, they might have big hair or million-dollar smiles, and on the radio, they either sound really sappy or really angry. In either case, they're all telling you what you need to do to take care of things eternally, and even your here and now. Yes, they're generally pretty easy to spot, and so one might assume that they're also fairly easy to avoid. Well, that all depends on how intrigued you become with them. What do you do when you spot them? Do you ignore them, or do you try to find out a little bit more about them and perhaps, in the process, risk being sucked into their message? But more dangerous are the ones that are harder to spot, the ones that look a whole lot more like you and I do, the ones who are a whole lot more subtle about their false teaching, the ones who might don vestments that don't look all that different than ours, the ones who might stand in the same kinds of pulpits that we are called to stand in or will be called to stand in, the ones who might even lurk behind the same synodical logo that we do. Yes, they're a little bit more hard and difficult to recognize, but they're no less dangerous if their word is not the word of God. But they're harder to avoid because their message might be more subtle and infiltrate in the midst of truth with falsehood. Their message might be such that we might be tempted to believe it, or might come to believe it without even quite recognizing that we have, simply because we haven't been paying close enough attention. Worse still is when that own falsehood creeps into our own message because we haven't been paying attention to the words that God is placing in our mouths, but end up putting our own words in place of His. In our text, Moses had been for some time now proclaiming the word that Yahweh had called him to proclaim. But now he was announcing that one from their midst would be raised up as a prophet in his place. Another one to proclaim the word of Yahweh to his people, to proclaim weal and woe, to call to repentance and faithfulness, to preach impending destruction in the case of unfaithfulness, and most importantly, to point to a far greater prophet ahead who would come to them. To those prophets, those whom God would raise up amongst his people, the people were called to take heed of their message, to listen to the truth of the word of God. But alongside those, there would be false prophets who would come along, those who would not proclaim the words placed in their mouths by Yahweh, those whose prophecies would not come true, those of whom the people of God need not be afraid, but nevertheless need to be aware, lest they be drawn into their false message. But the true prophets, they would be confirmed ultimately in the coming of that greater prophesied one, Christ himself, the one who would fulfill their prophecies. The one who would take on human flesh as he became incarnate and suffer and die for the sins of all mankind, enduring that scorn and shame of the cross and death itself for the sins of all, including yours and mine. The one who by his death and his resurrection would counter the greatest false prophet of all and conquer sin, death, and Satan by destroying him and bringing life to his people. So the hope and the comfort that was to come, that was proclaimed by these raised up after Moses, it came. Their true prophecies were completed. The fulfillment of all that God promised them was done, and so also for us. But this prophesied one also prophesied during his earthly ministry. He promised to come again. He said there would be persecution at the hands of those who hated them, and so also would hate we who follow him. And there has been, and there is. He said that there would be those who would come along and make false claims, and there has been, and there are. He said that there would be those who would come along and continue to try to draw us away from him, and they're all around us. He said and promised that he would be with us to the end of the age, and he is, in his body, and in his blood, and in his word, and by his Holy Spirit. And he said that he would raise us from the dead, and in the font of our holy baptism he has. And he has promised us everlasting life, and he is coming to raise us to everlasting life in him at the last day. So don't be afraid of the false prophets. Christ has defeated them for you. They stand condemned. They cannot harm you so long as you remain steadfast and firm in he who has redeemed you. So remain so. Remain firmly grounded in his word so that you do not stray away towards those false prophets. Participate regularly in the study of his word and the reception of his gifts for you. And as you serve in your various vocations, make sure that the words that come from your mouths are the words that he has placed there and not words that you have falsely chosen on your own. Don't be a subtle false prophet. But if you find yourselves, as most likely all of us do at one time or another, having stumbled off into the ground of falsehood, well then repent and be assured that Christ will forgive you of even that sin and guide you forward in proclaiming his word to those to whom he has called or will call you. Yes, false prophets, well, they're just about everywhere. Some are easy to spot and some are not. But fear not, easy to spot or otherwise, Christ has vanquished them all. So don't fear. Instead, rejoice. Rejoice that he, Christ himself, has forgiven you of all of your sins. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.